This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Wednesday, March 6th. I'm Julia Caulfield.
And I'm Gavin McGough.
In today's headlines, Lawson Hill votes against dogs.
Blues and Brews announces 30th festival lineup.
Latest story walk features raccoon buffoonery.
And a mountain weather forecast.
Dogs will not be coming to Lawson Hill. Members of the Lawson Hill Homeowners Association recently voted on whether to move forward with allowing pet dogs in the neighborhood. The HOA announced results on Monday and the measure failed. So the current ban on dogs in Lawson will remain in place. Per HOA regulations, 66.7% of members need to approve a measure to pass. Every household gets one vote, and businesses get one vote per 1,000 square feet of commercial space. However, in the case of dogs, the HOA wanted to ensure there was buy-in from residents, so it added an additional threshold of 51% of resident support. In the end, 57.44% of voting members supported allowing dogs, but it did not reach the necessary threshold, so the measure failed. The measure did get support from residents, with 63% of voting residents supporting allowing dogs in the neighborhood. 379.31 votes were allocated, with 276.86 returned, for a voter turnout of 72.99%. Currently, dogs are allowed to live in Lawson Hill if they're approved by the HOA as service or emotional support animals. There are 31 registered ESA dogs currently in the neighborhood. The Lawson Hill HOA will continue accepting applications from residents requesting reasonable accommodations for service or emotional support animals. Music and beer will be flowing for the 30th time this summer at Telluride's Blues and Brews Festival. And on Wednesday, the festival announced its 2024 lineup.
With the 30th year, you'll notice we have a really core blues lineup.
That's Courtney McClary, Director of Operations at SBG Productions, which produces Blues and Brews.
Specifically, our headliners come from that, the long-awaited return, 17 years, Joe Bonamassa.
Other headliners will include Gary Clark Jr. and Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals. Other big names, J.J. Gray and Mofro. Neil Francis, a favorite of SBG Partnership Director Patrick Sheehan.
We've been trying and trying to get him here. For people who don't know, he's a piano player, and people say he's the next Elton John, you know, if there could ever be. Let me get it this time.
I won't let you down. There's Tab Benoit, Samantha Fish, Mark Brusund, Eric Gales, His Golden Messenger, and Taj Franz. But McClary says you shouldn't only be paying attention to the acts later in the day.
We have a lot of really talented up-and-coming musicians that we're really excited to showcase that I think people will be really excited to see when they walk away from their show.
She highlights some of the festival's youngest talent.
Grace Bowers is a 17-year-old guitar, like, prodigy from Nashville. Her debut album comes out this summer, and she's amazing. When she was 14 years old, pandemic hit, and the girl took to online and social media, and she was discovered, and she's amazing. Another one who's also in the same vein is Taj Ferrant. He's very close and similar in age, and also a blues guitar player kind of coming up.
The Ever Favorite Music Maker Foundation Review will also be at the festival, featuring Faith and Harmony, Terry Harmonica Bean, Pat Mother Blues Cohen, Ernest Guitar Roy, and Jeffrey Scott. The festival will have its traditional three stages: the main stage in Town Park, the blue stage, and campground sessions.
Come celebrate our 30th year with us. It's going to be an incredible couple days of music and craft beer and just everything that makes Telluride great. So call your friends and family and get them to come to town.
The 30th annual Telluride Blues and Brews Festival will take place in Town Park September 13th to 15th. SBG will hold a local ticket sale at the Sheridan Show Bar starting at noon on Tuesday, March 12th, with GA and VIP tickets available. Tickets will go on sale to the general public on March 13th at 10 a.m.
Each month, the Wilkinson Public Library puts up a story walk along the river trail in Telluride. Each March, that story gets a special STEM theme with the help of the Pinhead Institute. On opening day for this year's STEM story walk, KOTO News stopped by to chat with volunteers, librarians, and school groups who were out in the early morning. We've got this report.
Hi! This story walk is about the six simple machines, and we have a very particular group of characters in this story that are going to make your walk very, very fun.
Librarian Dominique Bruno.
I remember when we did the first story walk collaboration between Pinhead and the library the year of COVID. And it was a very, very good experience. We had a lot of work, but you know, I love that we still have this collaboration and these good times here with the kids too.
Welcome! How are you, everyone?
Yay!
Hello!
Further down the trail, I find another station and another librarian. I ask about Tiffany Osborne's favorite machine.
A pulley. Like, anytime I can do a pulley system. I mean, I live by myself, so anything I can do. Well, not always, but when my kids are not home, I try to do any kind of pulley to, like, help with paint, help with anything. I do pulleys.
What do the visiting school groups think of this story walk? Camille Skinner likes the raccoons, drawn by Pinhead's own Trang Pham.
They all had a different looking hats, and it's cute.
What'd you learn?
So, I learned that there's, like, six simple machines. My favorite station was that apple with cinnamon, and you use the wedge to cut the apple, and then you used basically a screw like to get the cinnamon lid off.
Oh, did I get your name?
David Spinay. So the pulley was really fun. You got to pull up the bucket of snow and lift it above your head. It's really fast and easy, and you can lift it much higher. But my favorite station definitely was the apple one, because the apples were delicious, and apple and cinnamon may not sound like the best combo ever, but it really does taste delicious. So, yeah.
That's Andrew Forsyth discovering his newfound love of cinnamon. Not everyone could make it out this morning, of course, but this special STEM story walk titled Raccoon Buffoonery with Simple Machines remains open between Pine Street and Town Park all month long. Librarians won't be on hand to dispense apples and live interpretation like they are today, but Osborne says come anyway.
Definitely start at the very beginning on Pine Street and start there at the story walk and read each one, because even if you're not the activity center, the interactive stations aren't here, the story and the way it's worded is definitely easy to talk about with your kids. And it's super fun. And you can go home and use a knife and cut an apple and create a pulley with yourself. Like, it's so much fun. So it makes it really easy to explain to your kids. That's what I like about it. And it's in Spanish and English, which is even better.
The sun is up on this fine winter's day, glazing the banks of the river in bright light. Anytime you can be out on the river trail is, of course, a pretty good time.
And the raccoon, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a raccoon? Trying to get some apples.
The climb out of the pandemic has been a long one, and it continued this week as Norwood reopened its climbing wall for the first time since its closure during COVID. the Charlie Fowler Memorial Climbing Gym, located in the Right Stuff Primetime building on the west end of Summit Street, will once again be staffed and provide open hours to climbers in the community, with funding and organization provided by the Norwood Parks and Recreation District. The first climbers took to the wall earlier this week, and the Parks and Rec District will provide a full schedule for open hours going forward.
Spring is just around the corner, and before you know it, Telluride streets and theaters will be filled with Mountain Film festivities. With a new crop of films this year, Mountain Film also recently announced Crystal Merrill will be its new festival director. Merrill will be taking the reins from Suzanne Barraza, who announced she'll be leaving after the 2024 festival. Merrill has worked with Mountain Film for a number of years, working as operations director, tour director, and festival producer. In addition, Mountain Film announced Noelle Ferris is the poster artist for the 2024 festival. Ferris is a Denver-based artist, an environmental scientist by training, who examines the tension between the organic and synthetic. The 2024 Mountain Film Festival will take place in Telluride May 23rd through the 27th.
President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump won Colorado's presidential primary elections on Tuesday night. The Associated Press called both races about 20 minutes after the polls closed. At that point, Biden held almost 85% of the Democratic vote. Trump received more than 60% of the Republican vote, while runner-up Nikki Haley got just over 30%. Tuesday's primary election was only for the presidential race. Colorado's congressional, state, and local level primaries are in June.
Last week, 13 new candidates became citizens of the United States in Southwest Colorado. It was the first time a naturalization ceremony took place in the city of Durango. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KSUT and KSJD's Clark Adamitis has more.
Immigrants from Mexico, Cambodia, Germany, and Russia gather at the La Plata County Courthouse, ready to become American citizens. This is the first naturalization ceremony to take place in the city of Durango. It is mandatory for all new citizens to take the oath of allegiance at such a ceremony. But before last week, candidates in the southwest corner of Colorado would have to travel across the state.
We have judicial ceremonies in Colorado Springs, Grand Junction, now here in Durango, and also in Denver.
Ava Rupp is section chief at Citizenship and Immigration Services in Denver, Colorado. She traveled to Durango to help officiate the ceremony.
It's a great service to the community to have ceremonies closer to where they live. And it's also just a wonderful thing for the community to see and to support our new citizens.
Juan Zavala is a newly naturalized citizen. He's originally from Guanajuato, Mexico, and lives in Montrose, Colorado. I am very happy. I just accomplished something, something big. After all this time to become a citizen, for it to come to fruition now, I say anything can be accomplished. Yes, we can. You can do anything. Have courage. Alfredo Fonseca lives in Bayfield, Colorado, and he's originally from Guadalajara, Mexico. His wife is being naturalized today. He had to travel to Denver last year for his naturalization ceremony.
So happy, and today is the first time they make here in Durango, so we are so excited. It's not to drive too far to Denver.
The La Plata County Courthouse plans to continue to host naturalization ceremonies. For KSUT and KSJD, I'm Clark Adamitis.
State Representative Barbara McLaughlin is the chair of the House Education Committee. The Democrat from Durango, who represents House District 59, is sponsoring a bill to allow students to carry opioid overdose reversal medications and is supporting a transgender rights bill requiring schools to use a student's chosen name. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KVNF's Laura Palmisano brings us this report.
Fatal drug overdoses hit a record high last year in the U.S. with more than 112,000 deaths. Public health experts say fentanyl is responsible for a majority of these fatal overdoses. You were sponsoring a bill this session that would allow students to carry opioid overdose reversal medication on campus, school buses, and school events. It would also provide immunity to those who administer them. How did this bill come about?
Well, this was my number one bill this year. To me, it was the most important one. It was brought to me by students in Durango, and a young man, a friend of many of the students, took a pill that somebody gave him, and it was laced with fentanyl, and he died. And he died with friends around him, and they could do absolutely nothing to save him. So these kids went to their schools. They had to protest. They had to go and testify. They did research, had the school districts train students how to use Narcan, train teachers, educators how to use it, bus drivers. And it was so successful in Durango, they brought it to me and said, we need to make this statewide.
You spoke passionately on Friday, March 1st, in support of a bill that would require school staff to use a student's chosen name. This is a bill that would protect transgender people using their chosen names. Can you tell us about your experiences as a teacher that led you to support this bill?
I taught high school in Durango for 20 years, and it was about four or five times during those 20 years that a student would say, can you call me by this name instead of that name? And usually it was a name that was representing a different gender than, you know, how they were born. And then all of them told me, please don't tell my parents. They'll kill me if they find out. And you kind of have to take that seriously. So I would call them by their name, and I didn't tell their parents because they asked me not to. And by doing that, with other teachers in the school doing the same thing, we gave those students a safe place to figure out who they were and who they are. Every one of them eventually told their parents, and some of them had surgery, some of them didn't, and that didn't really matter. What mattered is that we gave them a very safe place in school to be who they truly were and to figure that out without a lot of other pressures on them. It was really important to me that we ask teachers to ask them to please call kids by the name that they're choosing. I don't think students do it lightly. Some people are saying, oh, they'll change every week and you have to keep up. It's like, that's not what they're doing in this case. They were very serious. They've thought about a name that they want, who they are, and then they need to explore to see if that's who they really are using that name in a very safe space.
You are also sponsoring a bill this session that would require the Department of Education to create and manage a website with career information for potential and current educators. Tell us more about the specifics of this bill.
Yes, as you probably know, everywhere we have an educator recruitment and retention issue. We're finding it hard to recruit new teachers, and then when they're there, we're finding it hard to hold on to them and keep them in the profession. So this addresses both of those things a little bit. I was just noticing if you got onto the Department of Education website, it's really hard to find things. There's just so much information there. But if you are maybe a high school student who's interested in perhaps going to college to learn to be a teacher, or you are a teacher and you want to move to a different district, or you're graduating from college, you have a teaching certificate, and you're not sure where to go next, or maybe you're in a profession and you're kind of getting tired of your profession, but you'd like to perhaps explore teaching. We decided to do kind of a one-stop shopping website so that everybody can go to these websites and find out where jobs are, which is really good for rural districts, that they can post their jobs, how much they pay, cost of living, you know, they can kind of sell their town. Also, that we have loan forgiveness programs that a lot of people don't know about. That should be really easy to find on a website. So this website will be available to every school district around Colorado. It'll also be on the Department of Education website, hoping that we can get more people to take advantage of the programs that we have for teachers, the ways to get a teaching degree or certificate without necessarily going back and getting a four-year degree.
Thank you for your time today, Barbara.
And thank you. Thanks for a very good interview. I appreciate it.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for a slight chance of snow tonight with otherwise cloudy skies and a low around 20 degrees. Snow could be heavy at times Thursday and Thursday night when the high is near 35 and the low is around 20. Possible accumulations range from 3 to 5 inches. On Friday, expect some lingering snow showers with a high near freezing. Overnight on Friday, there's a 30% chance of snow showers with a low in the mid-teens. This has been the news for Wednesday, March 6th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 970-728-3206. And now, personal commentaries.
Hello, CODO listeners. This is Anne Brown, District 1 County Commissioner, encouraging San Miguel County voters to attend the upcoming party caucuses. Registered Democrats will convene this Saturday, March 9th at 1 p.m. at the Wilkinson Library. Registered Republicans will meet this Friday, March 8th at 6 p.m. at the Norwood Community Center. Full transparency. This will be my first caucus. In the past, I've registered voters, knocked on doors, made phone calls, written postcards, and always voted, but never before realized the importance of a caucus. I'm excited to participate in this good old-fashioned form of American democracy. You'll learn more about caucus rules when you attend, but suffice it to say, you show up to make sure your preferred candidate's name will appear on the June 25th primary ballot. For the Democrats, caucus attendees from each of the county's six precincts will vote to send a predetermined number of delegates based on the precinct's population to attend the party's assembly, which immediately follows the caucus. An assembly vote of the freshly elected delegates determines which candidates earn a spot on the June 25th primary ballot. Of course, I hope that registered Democrats will come out to support me and for all of San Miguel County. But mostly, I hope you'll just come out. We the people are responsible for sustaining this fragile democracy. If you are a registered voter, thank you for participating.
Equal pay for equal work should be a no-brainer. However, even in 2024, pay inequity persists. Did you know Caucasian women earn only 80 cents for every dollar a Caucasian man makes? It's even worse for women of color, with Black women earning 65 cents, Latina women earning 55 cents, and American Indian women earning 60 cents to every dollar of a Caucasian man in the workforce. Aside from being unequal and unjust, pay inequity can greatly impact a woman negatively throughout her life, including lessening a woman's ability to care for her family. Half of working women are their family's breadwinner. Pay inequity weakens a woman's ability to leave an abusive situation if she cannot support herself or her children alone. It lessens her ability to pay off educational debt. Women currently hold 2/3 of the nation's student debt. And pay inequity diminishes a woman's ability to save for retirement, including less savings through Social Security, having earned less throughout her life. On Friday, March 8th, the Progressive Women's Caucus will bring attention to the issue of pay inequity through a good old-fashioned bake sale. As a longstanding tradition, in celebration of International Women's Day, the Equal Pay Bake Sale aims to illustrate the current pay inequity rates. So for example, a man who identifies as Caucasian will pay $1 for baked goods, while a woman who identifies as American Indian will pay 60 cents. Along with the opportunity to purchase delicious baked goods, community members will also have the chance to learn about pay inequity and what we can do to change it. All funds raised from the bake sale will be dedicated to the PwC Leadership Scholarship for a graduating senior who represents the PwC's mission and goals. So stop by the Equal Pay Bake Sale on Friday, March 8th, anytime between 12 to 4 p.m. If you're interested in baking some delicious treats to contribute to the bake sale, please call us at 970-708-0524. And don't forget, today and every day, to smash, smash, smash the patriarchy. Thanks, CODO.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You are also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you would like to comment, please contact a staff person here at CODO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.